All right, welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in. Let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870 by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports or even email me. That's right, email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. And, of course, give us a ring right here at the studio, 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? All of the dedicated Current Sports listeners out there, we want to know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Facebook me, or email me. Even give us a call right here at the station. Now, before we get into all of the latest intriguing sporting news, and man, there was a lot of it last night, it's the end of the week. And as our custom this summer here on the show, we invite a man who can improve that dreadful golf scorecard of yours. That's right. It's our weekly golf tip segment with Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner. Now, this week, engineer Aaron Young and I made the trip to Timber Ridge to meet up with Max. And Max decided to run down the basics for us. All right. We are here at the driving range Golf Pro Max Rebner for our third golf tip segment, and we're, hey, Max, we're covering the basics of golf this time, right?
Back to basics today.
Back to basics, baby. Here we go.
The first step in learning how to swing a golf club is first learning how to hold on to a golf club. So I'm going to go over three different ways that you can hold on to a golf club or grip the golf club so that you can improve your golf swing. The first grip I'm going to go over is what I would call an abbreviated sort of baseball grip, or you put your left hand on the club. Now, for any of these three grips, the left hand for a right-handed golfer, you should feel like the grip itself is primarily going through the fingers of your left hand and maybe touching just a little bit of the padding of your left hand. So primarily in the fingers, and then you sort of wrap your left hand over. So for all three grips, your left hand should be in this position with your left thumb pointing straight down the grip, okay? And this is when we get into sort of the differentiation of the three grips. With the right hand, so this would be the abbreviated baseball grip. So you wanna cover, so there's a slight connection. You wanna be able to touch your left hand. So imagine, I tell this to kids all the time, if the left thumb is like the hot dog, okay? You wanna cover that hot dog with your bun. And your bun in this case is your right hand. So imagine the padding of your right hand right here overlapping that hot dog or that left thumb. And to show you what it looks like from the bottom, nothing is interlocking, nothing is touching, but your hands are close together. That's the key. With all three grips, you want to feel as if your hands are together as one, because to have your hands separated like this, it's so hard to control the club. One hand's going one way, the other hand's going the other way. We want our hands to feel as one. So this is the abbreviated baseball with nothing interlocking. And that's the key word right there for the next grip, which is the interlock. So same basic principle of covering that hot dog with your right hand bun. But on the bottom side, we're connecting our right pinky with our left index in an interlock sort of formation. Now what this does, like I said before, for me, this is the grip I choose to use. This makes my hands feel even closer together, even more as one, and it really helps me feel the grip much better, and it makes any motion I make with my arms that much easier. And last but not least, this grip is called the overlap. So instead of interlocking those two fingers, the pinky and the index, we're actually just gonna rest our pinky on top or in between our index and our middle finger of our left hand. Now this is more used for people with bigger hands, you know, people that really don't like to have fingers interlocking. This kind of gives a sensation that even though if I have bigger hands, like I said before, they still feel as one, touching together, okay? So that's the basics of the three grips. Now we gotta figure out, how do we address the golf ball? Where do we want the golf ball to be relative to where we're standing, okay? So, what club do you have right here, Adam?
I have a pitching wedge.
Okay.
Yes.
So a pitching wedge, generally speaking, there are three ball positions relative to how you're standing. So if I took this golf ball and I placed it randomly, you know, right there, mm-hmm. and I asked you to put that ball in the center of your stance, what would that look like?
I believe that would look like...
Right there?
Right there?
Yep, that's good. So going from there, we're going to set two golf balls down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
About an inch apart from each other. So all in all, between these three golf balls, these are the three ball positions for your whole bag, meaning every club in your bag. This first ball position right here, in line with the center of your stance, is going to be reserved for your clubs, for your shortest club, whether it be this club here, your pitching wedge, or a lob wedge, all the way up, meaning, you know, your pitching wedge, 9, 8, all the way up until I'd say your 7-iron, you would want to play in the center of your stance. Because with the length of these clubs, that's generally where they would like to bottom out when you brush the grass.
And when you mean bottom out, what do you mean by that?
When you bottom out, that's the lowest point in the swing itself, where if you are standing perfectly stable and steady, the club would make contact with the ground, and where that point would be in line, sort of perpendicular to how your feet are pointed.
Gotcha. Okay.
So your pitching wedge, or your shortest club all the way up until your 7-iron, you would want to play in the center of your stance. Moving one ball over, let's see, we got a club here. Got your 5-iron. So I'll go ahead and show you that. You're going to have to just, obviously, you know, back up a little bit because the club gets slightly longer. But now we're going to remove one ball. Now we're at the second ball. So this is about halfway between the center and this third ball, which is in line with your left heel, okay? Mm-hmm. So when the club gets longer, tip of the day, when the club gets longer, move the ball slightly forward towards your left foot. For a right-handed golfer, and then for a left-handed golfer, obviously you'd be moving the ball forward towards your left foot, or towards your right foot, my mistake. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is where the longer clubs, your longer irons, your 6, your 5, your 4, and your 3, if you have a hybrid, for those who don't know, a hybrid is just a combination of a longer iron and sort of a wood. It almost looks like a wood, but you can play it in this position similar to a longer iron, okay?
Right.
So moving on from there, from a slightly longer iron, now we're left with the last golf ball here, which is in line with our left heel, and this is reserved for, as you like to call it, the Al Wood.
The Al Wood, the 5-wood, baby. Don't mess with me with this thing, all right?
So now we're into our woods. You can even play your driver. Mm-hmm. So this is now in line with your left foot. You may have to take a step back to accommodate for the length of the club, but those three positions are ideally where those clubs like to hit the ground or bottom out.
Gotcha. Okay? So you want the ball in a position where that club is going to bottom out, and it varies as those clubs go higher and higher.
Because the key is letting the setup do the work for you. So all you have to do is stay relatively stable and just move the arms, move the torso.
All right, so now we're going to work on something really simple, alignment. But it's not simple in a lot of cases, as Max will explain.
Yeah, alignment is just another fancy word in golf for how to aim. How do we aim in this silly game of golf? And we're going to use Al here to give us a little demonstration. So taking a look at, I don't know if you can see that red flag in the distance there. If I asked you to aim towards that red flag, what would that look like? Show me what that would look like.
Gotcha.
So don't move, okay?
All right.
I'm going to put down my alignment rods, okay?
Okay.
One is going to be parallel with your feet. Okay. And the other is going to be in line with the center of your club face. So go ahead and move your club now. You can move it out of the way.
I'll move it out of the way.
Yep. We're going to set these two rods down. We're going to back off and you're going to take a look at where these two rods are pointed. So you can see...
Oh man, it's not good.
Well, you know, it's not terrible. Yeah. So the biggest thing here is these two lines are parallel.
Right.
Meaning your feet aren't pointed way right and your club face is not pointed way left. These two lines are parallel, which means you're more than likely gonna swing down this line. But I'll give you the trick on how to make sure, without these fancy rods I have here, right, how to make sure you're properly aligned with wherever you want the ball to go, okay?
Yep.
So let me sort of demonstrate. So the way I sort of approach it, let's get these out of the way. If I were, you know, going through my routine, I'd sort of hold my club up, and I kind of close one eye, and I imagine that if I were to just draw sort of the shaft of the club straight through, visually, try to get it in line with that flag. And then from there, then I look down through the club and see where that spot would be on the grass, you know, 2 feet in front of me.
Right.
And then I quickly go to that spot, or that line that I just drew, set my feet, and then this is the check. This is the test to make sure that I did it correctly. So I get in my golf stance, in my golf posture, and then the key is take one 90-degree turn with just your neck to the left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like looking right over your left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And if the first thing you see is what you want to aim at, I can put the club down. If we back off, you'll see it's pretty much pointed towards that red flag there.
It's perfect,
okay?
Perfect.
So, going over again, visualize, kind of use your club as a tool, as a setup tool. Kind of close one eye and imagine you're just extending a line through your club. See if it goes towards where you want the target to be, and then try to set your feet, you know, exactly on that line, 2 feet in front of you, and use that 90-degree head turn. That first thing that you see is your target.
You've done it right.
You're good to go. In honor of PGA Championship Week, we're gonna go over a little rules demonstration here with Al.
Gotta know your rules.
Gotta know your rules.
Gotta know your rules.
Gotta know when you're in breach of a rule. So we're gonna have Al tee up here in our little basket teeing ground here, and Al's just gonna go ahead. I'm not gonna tell you what rule he's breaking. Let's see if the viewers can figure it out.
All right, let's do this thing.
Down.
All right.
Go ahead and hit a shot, Al. It's a good shot.
Well, it's decent.
It's a good shot.
Great shot. All right, next play the second shot, right?
It's too bad that I have to add 2 strokes to that shot.
Really? What'd I do?
See these teeing markers here? Anytime you see markers indicating where you should tee up, so here's the rule. You can notice he stuck his tee ahead of these tee markers. Okay, it may seem very, very subtle, almost like, hey, well, that didn't, you know, why should that affect anything?
Right.
There's plenty of rules that you have to abide by in golf, and one is being able to tee off not only in between the markers, but making sure you're not going forward ahead of the markers. And that causes you to have a 2-stroke penalty, and it's just the simplest thing you would never think about.
That's golf, though.
You know, breaking the rule of where to tee off, but you can't go ahead of the tee markers, and actually, you can't go more than 2 club lengths. Now, obviously, it would be your longest club. 2 driver's lengths backwards. If you exceed that, now, why would you want to do that? Some people say, hey, well, you know, I don't know what club to hit.
Yeah.
So I want to make it slightly longer so I can hit the club that I want to hit.
Right.
But you have parameters, and these are the parameters.
So you can't go in back.
You can't go more than 2 club lengths behind
forward
the tee
or back.
Markers.
Gotcha.
So you're almost creating a little rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2 feet behind and nothing forward of the tee.
Nothing forward. So 2 feet behind, nothing forward. If you do, hey, it's a 2-stroke penalty. Don't do it. Don't do it.
All All right, that was golf's tip segment number 3 with Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner. Truly great, helping me improve my game each and every week, and I hope it's helping you out your game. Yeah, this time I went out with Aaron Young, our engineer here on Current Sports. Had a good time after the tip segment. Went out and actually played about, how many holes you play, Aaron? About 4 holes, I think?
Yeah, 4 or 5, something like that.
It's fun stuff, man. How'd you enjoy yourself?
It was fun. It's a nice course out there. Max clearly has his game together, you know, put us to shame. But
yes, he did.
You know, hopefully the listeners are getting some tips out of their golf game, and the video stuff will be getting better at that as well, and hopefully they'll be checking those out.
Exactly. Yes, we will have a video segment as well. We filmed the entire segment. It will be on our Current Sports Facebook page through a YouTube link. You can check it out there. It should be up this weekend. But yeah, it was a fun time. Went out there and played about 4 or 5 holes, and Max is just, I tell you, he just got his player's card with the PGA Tour. And, man, he's something else. He's something else. So, again, hope you guys are enjoying the segment. We will be back out there again next week. And interesting, I tell you, because the game of golf has so many rules to it. And I had no – Aaron, did you know about this rule about the tee box? About, you know, you can't go ahead of the tee box, but you can go 2 club lengths in back of it.
Yeah, I knew you couldn't go ahead of it. That, I mean, yeah. Hence the – that just – to me, that makes I kind of knew that. Plus, a friend of mine who played golf in high school had told me about that. But I didn't. I knew you could go behind, but I didn't realize it was only you could only go 2 club lengths of your longest club behind.
Right.
Granted, most tee boxes aren't big enough where you could literally do that. Plus, why would you want to? That, you know, unless
right.
You're like, oh, I know exactly where I want to hit in the fairway, but I need to be back and I want to hit this club. Maybe, but it's those little things that can catch you if you're in a little tournament or something with friends, and those rules do matter.
Yeah,
those are the things you got to watch out for.
Very, very true. I might pull that out if I'm in desperation mode and I'm really just getting my butt kicked by one of my buddies. If I'm gonna be paying attention to that rule, because I'm like, hey, that's 2-stroke penalty. I'm gonna go to the book and it's gonna be over. But I mean, there's so many rules in the game of golf. Hey, we might think about, you know, I'm thinking about having Max do it, just a rules segment next week. That'd be kind of cool to do. But again, yeah, great segment. Again, we'll have the video online on our Facebook page. Just go to www.facebook.com/currentsports. Go to that page and you will see that video. We have the first one up as well. That one's more so just kind of just to show the outing me and Alex went out that time. You can check it out there. Max will definitely be back next week. And Max, thanks a lot for your tips. It's definitely improving my game. All right, well, when we return to Current Sports, we will dive into our Current Sports section of the show. Again, you can give us a call right here at the station, 517-355-9527, or tweet me or Facebook me. Again, I'm on Twitter at Al Martin at WKAR, or Al Martin WKAR. I got so much media going on right now. I get them mixed up sometimes. But tweet me, Facebook me, give us a call here at the station. Want to hear your thoughts, just anything on your mind. Stay tuned. More Current Sports is coming right at you.
You know about the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, but what about respect and resolution? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday as we talk about teaching emotional literacy in schools. Does it make for better students and better grades? That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday coming up at 2 p.m.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Well, Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. That's right, and you can give us a call again here at the station, 517-355-9527. We just finished up our weekly golf tip segment with Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner. Always an interesting and fun segment. I am also joined by my intern, Mike Corey, and production assistant, Matt Lucky, as we run down the latest sporting news. Man, can you guys believe it's already Friday? Just flew by, right? Flew by. We always have fun on this show, and I feel like Friday just comes like that. I don't know.
Every week. Week after week.
Crazy. Week after week. And I have certainly been pretty tired, guys. This has been a long week for me, I tell you. You know what? I'm going to let the cat out the bag right now. I'm releasing the cat out the bag, ladies and gentlemen. I've been losing my mind and a lot of planning. Good planning, though. Having a lot of fun with it because Current Sports is actually going to come to your TV very soon, ladies and gentlemen. We are launching in September, and September 12th will be the very first episode of Current Sports TV right on WKAR TV. Greg Kelser will be our very first guest. How about that? Can you believe that? It's going to be a live audience. So if you want to be a part of the audience, you can give us a call here at the station. We're also going to put it out on our Facebook and Twitter pages. If you want to be a part of the audience and ask Greg some questions, come on out for the taping of that show. Let us know. Hit me up on, tweet me, Facebook me, give us a call. We'll show you how you can get involved with that. But yes, Greg Special K will be the very first guest. I talked to him this morning, and he's certainly excited about it. I'm certainly excited about it, and I hope you are. So yes, the cat is out the bag. All right, well, let's get into our topics. Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, ladies and gentlemen, they have been on a roll. The Tigers finished a 4-game sweep of the Cleveland Indians yesterday with a 10-3 win. The Tigers have now won 12 straight games, and Max Scherzer became the only player in Major League history to record 17 wins. That is so impressive, so impressive. And Scherzer, who's 17-1, he allowed 2 runs and 4 hits in 7 innings. He helped the Tigers beat Cleveland for the 12th time in their last 13 meetings. Here was Max after the game.
The wins, not so much, just because it can be a fluky stat. Right now I'm getting all the run support. I am pitching well, but, we're just on a roll as a team. For the 1,000 Ks, that means more. That takes pitching effectively for many years, and that's something I feel like I've done. And as of late, I've gotten even better at generating swing and misses. And so, to get it within basically 5-plus years, to me that means a lot.
Man, he is certainly special. Max Scherzer has certainly been on the roll. And, of course, Jim Leland weighed in on him. I mean, Jim, what a team. The Tigers are certainly rolling. Here was Jim Leland talking about Max's performance.
I thought he was pretty much vintage Max. He, maybe a little sluggish on a couple hitters, but that's one thing that he's really done well is he's really improved on getting to get back together. If he loses it for a hitter or two, he knows how to get it back together now.
Yeah, he has been special. Guys, did you catch that game yesterday? Max, my goodness, 17-1. That's just unheard of in the game of baseball. No one's ever done it before.
And you have to love how he deflects the credit to his teammates. He's getting all the run support. That's the first thing he says. It's a fluky stat. I'm getting all the run support. He acknowledges that he is pitching well because, I mean, that's pretty obvious. You don't do 17-1 without doing something right.
Yeah.
But he's a team guy. I love him. It's great to have him here. And Jim Leland, it sounded like he was about to fall asleep.
I know. That's Jim Leland for you, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Just, his routine. All right. That's why.
Wakes up from a nap, take a few questions.
Right. Goes back to sleep.
After the game, always just slumped back in his chair, just tired out of his mind.
You got to love it, man. Jim Leland for me. It's kind of either you like Jim Leland or you don't like Jim Leland. There's no really in between. I love Jim Leland. Just because his attitude, he has a no-nonsense type of attitude, just goes out there and handles business. That's just me, though. But yeah, so the Tigers now, they've won 12 in a row for the first time since the September 2nd to 14th period back in 2011, coupled with a 13-game winning streak by Idle Atlanta. Atlanta has been rolling too, guys. This is really special because you got Atlanta on this incredible win streak, then you got the Tigers on an incredible win streak. It's a great time to watch either one of those teams. Now, this marks the first time in Major League history that two teams have had winning streaks of at least 12 games at the same time during a season since May 16th, 1884. Oh my goodness, that's a long time. The only other time it occurred was between the St. Louis Maroons, who had won 15 straight, and the New York Gothams. The Gothams, what a name.
It's a pretty great name.
That's a very good name. Batman, it's like Gotham City. The New York Gothams, they need to bring that name back. They had taken 12 in a row. So that back in 1884, can you believe that? Unbelievable. I believe we have a caller on line one. Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, Al, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing? Who is this? I'm sorry.
This is Kirk from Grand Ledge.
Kirk, my man. My man, Kirk. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports, bud.
I'm doing just fine. Hey, what I'm calling about in regards to the Tigers, because I think they have a quite interesting positive problem, and that is, what do you do with Hernan Perez when Omar Infante is ready to come back to the team? And, you know, here's a kid who was brought up from Double A when Infante was hurt. Originally, Infante was only supposed to be out for a couple of games. I don't think anyone expected much of anything out of him. He's shown he can play. He's hitting, about 260, 270. He's scoring runs. He runs the base pass well. He plays really good defense. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I look at Iglesias and Perez as like the middle infielders of the future. And, yeah, maybe for this year you send him back down or whatever, but the kid has certainly contributed and, you know, needs to have some people talking about him a little bit. And any idea on when Infante might come back?
No, not yet. I'm looking at my notes here. I don't believe, at least in today's note, they haven't mentioned anything about Infante. I'm not sure. But I would imagine soon.
I know he's down in the minors on the rehabilitation.
Yeah, he's down at AAA, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I do see. First of all, Coach Kirk, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. But, yeah, it could definitely get a little sticky. I mean, Perez, who was, you know, he was pretty efficient before, you know, he went out. But it could get a little sticky. I could see if he comes back. Because right now the Tigers are rolling. It's one of those things where, If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know?
Right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, nothing's broke.
Especially right now where you can just, if Infante did have a big injury, you know, let him take his time down there while we're succeeding with.
He can take all the time he wants right now. I mean, you know, looking at the Tigers, but yeah, that's a
good
point.
But when he comes back, you need to put him back in line.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. But man, right now, I think it just as a collective whole of that team right now, they are certainly on a roll, and you really don't want to rock the boat at all to try to mess with anything as far as the lineup goes or any of that. So yesterday, interesting because Torii Hunter, he was given the day off. Torii Hunter, he's 38 years old. He played 14 innings yesterday. So Jim Leland said it was really a no-brainer to not play him. Leland said Prince Fielder had the option of being the designated hitter, but chose to play the field. Now the Tigers continue their 10-game road trip with a 3-game series against the Yankees. Rick Porcello faces Ivan Nova tonight. That should be good. I have the Tigers actually sweeping the Yankees in this series. I mean, interesting. Interesting. 3-game series, I believe.
3 games, yep.
3-game series.
I mean,
and,
we're at 12.
Yeah.
What's 15?
Exactly. Yep. I know, right? I mean, this could keep going on and on. Detroit's Jose Iglesias, of course, shortstop from the Boston Red Sox that we picked up, he was scratched from the lineup because of a bruised left toe. He was spiked while taking a throw at second on Wednesday. So we'll see if he comes back. All right, the Lions, Detroit Lions football. Can you smell it? I can feel it in the air. I can't wait for it. But the Lions tonight, they will play the New York Jets in their first game of the preseason opener. Now, there's an interesting dynamic when I look at this when it comes to the QB position specifically of tonight's preseason opener. Now, the last time Matt Stafford and Mark Sanchez met on the football field, their careers were in two totally different directions. Now, Sanchez, he was the 5th overall pick in 2009, led the Jets to the playoffs as a rookie, and was on his way to a second straight AFC championship game when he rallied his team to a 23-20 victory over the Lions in November of 2010. Now, Stafford, during that time, he was the first pick. He was in his second straight injury-riddled season. He suffered a separated throwing shoulder in the opener that year, returned for a late October game against Washington, and had the Lions in position to upset the Jets when he fell awkwardly on his arm and got hurt again. Now, one surgery and two prolific passing years later, Stafford is the quarterback with the brighter future, I tell you. Now, Sanchez has spent training camp battling rookie Geno Smith. And I tell you what, looking at some of the reports, I did a lot of reading last night. I was just up, couldn't sleep. The reports on Geno Smith in that camp are redonkulous. I mean, a lot of players say, going anonymously, of course, they don't want their name connected to the quotes, of course, because it could rattle up some controversy.
Right.
But if you read the accounts of the players that have gone anonymous talking about Geno Smith's play in camp, I mean, there's some quotes saying there is no-brainer that Geno Smith should be the starting quarterback of this team. Another guy says that Geno is just showing off and showing up Mark Sanchez every time he's behind center. I mean, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, let's not, it is preseason camp here. I don't want to get too crazy, but I've never read accounts like that about a rookie quarterback when you compare it to Mark Sanchez, who was at one time a prolific quarterback for the Jets. And, you know, tonight, Mark Sanchez, he will start. But you can't ignore these reports that are coming out of this camp. I mean, they're just they blew my mind when I was just reading about this last night. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can name another quarterback in the NFL who probably has less respect from his teammates than Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like while they might be true, you have to take them with a grain of salt because, I mean, these are the same people who were clamoring for Tim Tebow to have his job last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And pretty much anybody to have the year before that. He's struggled mightily, and the criticisms are fair because he's been terrible.
I would put Greg McElroy over Mark Sanchez.
I think a lot of Jets people would, too. It's not.
He's been bad.
He's been
progressively bad.
And it seems like he lost the locker room. Lost the locker room, and now it's just kind of.
You would think it was probably divided last year. He's now just completely lost it.
Yeah, he's gone.
I'm going to go out and say I think that Geno Smith will be starting maybe week three, week four. I'm going to go out and say. I'll say week one. You say week one?
I'll
this
say,
report says, I mean, Mike
I'll
and Mike.
Week one.
I listened to Mike and Mike this morning. They have him starting week one. I mean, I'm like,
I've
wow.
never been a fan of Sanchez. I thought he came out of USC way too soon. I think he should stay another year, but I was never impressed by him, even when he led him to AFC championships.
Yeah.
They made those.
Yeah, with defense.
With defense, exactly.
Yeah, with defense. That was, But, man, interesting stuff. So, listen, you get to see him in action tonight a little bit going against Matthew Stafford. Again, it's preseason football. Kickoff is tonight at 7:30 p.m. Max is actually heading to that game tonight.
Now, hold on, Al. I think the biggest story of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Kickalicious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kickalicious.
If there's ever been a better reason to watch a preseason NFL game, mm-hmm. I don't think I know what it is.
I just want him to get a 63-yarder. So just get there. If you're at this point where you can get a 63-yarder, just like stop your drive and let him go on the field.
What do you have to lose?
It's like that could be argued that we have a kicker battle in Detroit because I mean David Akers, of
it's
course,
true.
with the Lions, and of course he would presumably be the starter. But hearing the reports about Kickalicious, I mean I'm just reading the reports. It's like Geno Smith's reports. I mean, they're through the roof.
Kicker controversy.
Especially with Akers just coming off of a struggling season last year with, I believe it was San Francisco.
Yep.
Man, Kickalicious. Do your thing, brother. I'm rooting for you. All right, next bullet. Sports Illustrated released its annual preseason All-Americans, and among the seven Big Ten players making the first and second team, a lone MSU player made the list. Linebacker Max Bulla. He was named as part of the second team All-Americans. He had a stellar 2012 campaign with 111 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and 1 interception. Bulla is 6'3", 245 pounds. He's a senior. He received his third All-American honor of the preseason. He was previously named to Phil Steele's College Football Preview second team. And previous MSU players named to the Sports Illustrated All-American team are William Golston and Johnny Adams, who were named to last year's team. So congrats to Max Bulla. Max is such a hardworking player out there. And you know what? Yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Riley Bulla actually got hurt during practice yesterday. And he took some reps today. I've been reading tweets from various media members around the area who attended practice this morning. And he didn't really practice. So I don't know how long he's going to be how serious it is.
You say he was hurt. Do you know what kind of injury it was?
Not exactly sure. So, all right, Spartan Stadium. Construction on Spartan Stadium has officially begun, and unfortunately there is going to be a bit of inconvenience for MSU fans this fall because work will continue throughout this football season with the project slated for completion in July of 2014. The university about 2 weeks ago broke ground on a $24.5 million two-level expansion at its football venue's north side. Michigan State Deputy Athletic Director Greg Ianni said that a little hassle now will pay off later exponentially. He was quoted as saying, "Our fans have had to work around construction projects before when we added the lower to the west, the tower to the west side of Spartan Stadium in 2004. The end result for all users, the team, our visitors, the media, our fans, with the additional concourse space and restrooms, everyone's going to benefit from this thing when it's over." Spartan Stadium's new addition will house a recruitment center for all sports, a campus-wide media center, a new football locker rooms and team spaces, support spaces, media rooms, additional restrooms, concessions, donor plazas, and renovated entry gates to comply with Homeland Security recommendations. My goodness, guys. I mean, this goes back to our Barbershop Wednesday almost, I guess you could say, because I don't think it would be as lavish as OSU's and Oregon's facilities, but it goes back to that whole thing. If you look at this, our college athletes kind of spoiled. I don't know, but
right.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. You know?
I think they're keeping the waterfall under wraps. Mm-hmm.
They are
going to unveil that as a surprise.
If it's anything like Oregon's, oh my goodness. Woo! All right, MSU Georgetown. The MSU men's basketball team has added one more marquee matchup for the upcoming season. The Spartans will face off against the Georgetown Hoyas at Madison Square Garden on February 1st, the eve of the Super Bowl, which is going to be held in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Now, the event is called Super Saturday Hoops and will feature a college basketball doubleheader followed by an NBA matchup between the Knicks and the Heat. That should be, I'm going to be tuned in, locked in to my TV that day, I tell you. Now, the Spartans are slated to tip off with the Hoyas at 3 p.m. after Marquette faces St. John's to kick off the event at 12:30, all of which will be broadcast by Fox Sports 1. I'm excited about Fox Sports 1, too. They're like 8 days away from launch, I think. Wow. Unbelievable stuff. Both schools are not only excited about the opportunity to play on national stage, but to play against the programs they clearly respect. So definitely looking forward to that one as well. You know, something to do before, because I don't think I really watch sports before Super Bowl Sunday. I'm just, on Saturdays, I'm kind of preparing for the Super Bowl party
right.
for Sunday.
You're
I'm
cooking.
Not really,
you're
cooking.
Just in the kitchen.
I'm cleaning.
All day.
I sound like my mom right,
right.
now. I'm cooking.
Hey,
I'm cleaning.
It's a big party.
It's a big party. Yeah. If it's held at my house, which it was, or my apartment, which it was last year, I was just cleaning my entire apartment because I was a slob, I tell you. I've changed my ways. All right. Frank Beckham. He retires. Frank Beckman retires. My goodness. He is a legend. A legend in Michigan sports broadcasting. I mean, do you remember this voice?
Down to the one. He's to the one. The clock is running. 7 seconds. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Smoker spikes the ball, and the clock had stopped. The clock had stopped at one. They stopped the clock, Jim. They stopped the clock when they shouldn't have. Jim, that clock should have run out. That's unbelievable.
Is this home cooking or what?
Larry Belat, the ex-coach at MSU and the color commentator from radio, just put his hands up with that sheepish grin.
Here comes
that's
up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean
that's criminal.
Watch out, Haygood. Watch out. Okay, they're over there.
Okay, in the shotgun, Smoker from the two. He's going to score the ball.
Look at Larry Stevens.
Stevens being held. The pass into the end zone. Poster cuts down by Duncan. Unbelievable. Stevens. Jim, this game was stolen from the Michigan Wolverines.
What a moment in Michigan sports. Wow. Matt, you cut that bite. For those youngins out there who don't know about that game, explain what that bite was.
Well, man. That was the 2001 Michigan State game.
Unbelievable moment.
Late drive by the Spartans. Yeah. A huge game from, I think Michigan had like 12 sacks or something on Jeff Smoker.
Yep.
But Charles Rogers and TJ Duckett were huge. And with 1 second left, although it's debatable, depending on who you talk to, Smoker spikes the ball.
Yep.
Get one last snap off.
One last.
Heave to Duckett in the end zone. 26-24 final score. probably my favorite radio bite ever, just it's because of how the palpable anger in his voice. He was so upset. But, you know, you love objectivity, but every once in a while, a little homer call is good for everybody.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. Frank Beckman, the longtime voice of Michigan football, he has announced his he is retiring at the end of this year's football season.
That's why I want to throw on this. Because of this game, the Big Ten installed a new rule that, like, the person who keeps time on the field must be a neutral person, neutral, like, efficient. The home team would assign it. And the guy who was the clock writer was officially known as Spartan Bob from now on.
Spartan Bob.
But, yeah, that became a new role that there would be a neutral person assigned to it.
Right, right. Man, that was such a moment. And Frank Beckman, again, he was a member of the Michigan Sport. He is a member of the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame. He has handled play-by-play duties for the Wolverines for 33 seasons. Dave Brandon, he released a statement on this whole, you know, Frank retiring, and he says, quote, "We appreciate all that Frank has done for Michigan football the past 33 years. Frank has dedicated his Saturday afternoons to telling the story of Michigan football through the radio to our fans. His voice has become synonymous with some of the great calls in the history of our football program. We look forward to enjoying one more season of Frank being the voice of Michigan football before he begins his well-deserved retirement." Again, Frank Beckman, the longtime voice of Michigan football, he is hanging up his mic and retiring at the end of this season. Truly a legendary, just a really good guy. He's just a good guy. All right, PGA Championship updates. Going to give you guys an update on what's going on as far as the PGA Championship. And I tell you, Adam Scott is really, really turning some heads. Right now, he's leading the pack. He's 7 under. And has just finished up his round. He shot a 68 today, so 7 under. Justin Rose is on his heels at 6 under. Justin shot a 66. Wow. And Jim Furyk, he's sitting at 5 under, and he tees off at 1:55 p.m. Some of the notables, Tiger Woods, he's 1 over. Tiger Woods tees off in 2 minutes, to be exact, at 1:45 p.m., but man, Adam Scott, he's unbelievable. He ran off 5 straight birdies early in his round yesterday at Oak Hill, and he finished with a 15-foot par for a 5-under-65 that gave him a share of the lead Thursday with Jim Furyk. Now, Scott finally became a major champion at Augusta National in April when he won a playoff at the Masters. Now, just 3 weeks ago, he had the lead on the back nine at Murrayfield in the Open Championship until he made 4 bogeys to fall back. Now, the world's number one player, Tiger Woods, he made only 2 birdies despite playing in the still of the morning as he watched his round just fall apart with a bogey on par 5 fourth and a double bogey on his final hole when his flop shot out of a deep rough floated into a bunker. Woods had a 71. Not a bad start, but except on this day. Now, Open Championship, Phil Mickelson, he wound up with the same score as Woods, only he arrived at his 71 on vastly different roads. Now, Woods had only 2 birdies. Mickelson shot 71 despite 2 double bogeys. So, tough day for the number 1 and 2 in the world, I tell you. LeBron James. Now, even though he's considered the best player in the NBA and maybe the world, even LeBron James couldn't get out of jury duty. James tweeted a photo of himself as he was leaving his house Thursday morning and wrote, "Time to serve my civic duty." He was bringing along a book in case he had a long wait before being called. James, he drew a buzz, of course, at the county courthouse in downtown Akron, but was not seated on a jury for trial and left the building at 10:30 a.m. Now, he has been spending time in his hometown in Ohio and working out for the past several weeks since returning from a promotional tour with the in the Philippines and China. Kobe's also out there, too. This weekend, James is hosting several charity events in the city. So you are not above the law. You got to serve. Have you guys ever done jury duty before? Never done it.
Can't say I have.
No.
I kind of am looking forward to it.
How are you?
Why not?
Really? Why? I mean, yeah, I've never done it before. I've never gotten a call about it. I'm sure it's coming, though.
Yeah.
Get you out of work. Hey. What happens if I get a letter?
Yeah, I'll host the show.
Yeah. Mike's going to hold it down to Fort. That should be a very interesting show.
Yeah.
All right, Linges, we'll have to move on. We have to move to our last segment of Current Sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Facebook me, tweet me. More current sports is right around the corner.
People are living under the illusion that the American dream is working for them. And it's rigged by the guys at the tippy top.
Laura Dern played a naive whistleblower on the HBO series Enlightened. The second and final season is coming out on DVD. On The Next Fresh Air, the series creator and co-star Mike White, join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll be taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your noggin. Again, 517-355-9527. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can tweet me. You can email me. You guys know the drill. I'm always in your ear about it. Just give us a call. Do what you got to do. You know what you got to do. All right. Well, it's Friday. Man, I still can't believe it's Friday. Friday, yes, that means Reflection Friday. We're going to reflect. Aaron, we got some reflection. We never have reflection music. He's just looking at me like, no, Al, we have no reflection music. All right, we're just going to reflect, though. Reflect on this incredible week. We had a great week.
If I can make a request. Yeah. Maybe some Kenny G.
Yeah, some Kenny G. Like some smooth. It's got to be like some love.
Yeah, why not?
It's reflection. Hold on. We're not.
I think it fits.
Guys.
Take that back.
Slow your rolls.
Yeah. Kenny G, maybe. That's too. Yeah. All right.
Oh, come on.
Reflection Friday. Reflection Friday. The current sports team and I, we look back at some of our favorite moments and stories of the week. There were a lot of them, I tell you. And we look ahead to what's on the tube this weekend. It's not much probably on the tube because it's still summertime. But it's college football is right around the corner. I can't wait for that. All right, guys. So, a lot happened on this show this week. What are some of your favorite moments and stories or whatever?
Just the play of the Tigers has very much impressed me. Just the sweep of the Cleveland Indians, and then previous series before that, you know, everyone is at the top of their game at the right moment of the season, and you can see they're playing with a big motivation, and you know, even with the Cleveland before the series, the Cleveland Indians were right there. You know, it was like whether 2.5 or 3 games, they were always on their back. They were before the series won 9 of their past 10 games too.
Yeah,
and so they were right there with them, and they went up and they absolutely crushed them. I have been extremely impressed and very curious to watch them play the Yankees in this next series.
Yeah, it should be fun. The Tigers are certainly rolling. I'm sure all of Michigan is really tuning in, and the baseball world is in awe of the Braves and the Tigers. To tell you the truth, because both of those streaks are very, very impressive. The Tigers. Batting has been unbelievable. Pitching has been great. And, I really enjoy going to the game on Sunday down there, downtown Detroit, and checking them out as they played the White Sox. But they really have great chemistry, and they love being around each other. I mean, Torrey Hunter was talking the other day about, you know, how they love messing around with each other in the locker room. They talk all the time. I mean, the chemistry on that team is through the roof, which is a big reason why that they're able to go out there and just so relaxed and just play. And looking forward to it. Tigers are certainly probably the biggest story in Michigan right now.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to go with a similar vein. It's Tiger-related. It's got to be Jeremy Bonderman.
Yeah.
Yes.
30 years old.
Definitely.
Coming back after a few years away, and it just seems like he was going to go down as one of those cautionary tales of a guy who burnt out too soon, just left the game too early and, you know, didn't really get a chance to establish himself in a long career. I like that he came back, got a win. Mm-hmm. It's a feel-good story. I like him going forward, even if he's, you know, somewhere in the bullpen, anywhere in the bullpen.
Yeah.
He's a contributor, and if he's still effective, it's great to hear his name again and great to hear the Tigers fans cheering him on.
Definitely, definitely. I totally agree with you. And for me, when I look back at this week, There was certainly a lot. We had some great guests on here, including, for me, Greg Malik was great. Because I feel as though, at least in this area, you don't hear a lot of coverage when it comes to, or just in sports in general in Michigan, as far as, you know, just sporting news in Michigan, the community college sports. Yep. And for Greg to come in and kind of voice his opinion on that and to talk about, you know, his incredible, you know, stint as a coach and now, you know, as he served as in the position of AD with other colleges and his position now and what he plans to do with Lance Community College. I thought that was very interesting. And, you know, he had some great comments when you talk about, as we kind of mentioned, as far as the football facilities, the multi-million-dollar facilities, and if college athletes are spoiled, he kind of he had some great opinions because I definitely agree with him on the, you know, the focus of academics when it comes to the college athlete kind of takes a back seat to their performance on the field. I understand there's a lot of big bucks, you know, it's big bucks concerned as far as college sports are concerned, but those college athletes don't see that money. And I feel as though I don't think they should be paid because they're getting spoiled as it already is with those facilities. But at right. the same time, there should be more of an emphasis on the academic side of things, and you don't hear about that. And Greg kind of highlighted that, and I thought that was a pretty interesting perspective to that. So he was great, though. Thanks a lot, Greg, for coming on the show. And MSU Media Day. I mean, Spartan football is right around the corner. Got to hang out at Media Day. And one particular story that went beyond the X's and O's for me had to do with Makaijah Reynolds. Makaijah Reynolds helping to save a life. If you didn't hear it, check it out.
Long story short, a young man was shot on Saginaw 3 times. Nobody else was around. It was about 1:30 in the morning. I don't know why. Even I was about to spend the night at my friend's house. And something at the last minute just told me, no, go home. So I decided to go home, and I took a route that I normally don't take, and this young man flagged me down. He had been shot 3 times. There was nobody else around. He was bleeding out pretty badly. So I whipped my car around in the middle of the street and jumped out, ran over to him and helped him out and put pressure on his wounds and stuff. He'd been shot in the head, and, I mean, I still got my shirt and all my clothes over at the house that, you know, completely drenched in his blood and stuff, but... You know, thank God he made it, and, you know, that was pretty much it. You know? Yep, I mean, it was crazy, you know, this kid, young cat, teenager, and I'm holding him, cradling him, trying to, you know, put pressure and tell him, hey, it's going to be okay, everything's going to be all right. You know, he's telling me I'm dead. I'm like, look, you're not dead. You know, you're sitting here talking to me, so you're going to be fine. Just hang on. Just keep fighting. And that's, I felt like I was, you know, spotting somebody on the bench. I was like, man, you can do it. Just relax. Keep going. You know, you got it and all that. And thankfully, he made it. I haven't really spoken to the family since I've been in camp and stuff, but he's stable and everything last time I checked. And, yeah, so I didn't get sleep for a couple of days just because, you know, it made me consider, you know, life is delicate. Life is so delicate. You know, you don't think about things like that happening until it's happened. And you know, just thinking, I'm like, what if my son would have been in that situation? Would somebody else have stopped? And, you know, thankfully he made it and everything, but it makes you consider and be thankful and so grateful and for everything that you're given. You know, I'm truly blessed to be here in the situation in that I'm in right now, playing college football at the highest level. And, you know, there's so many people that I know who didn't make it out of, you know, where they were. And so I just, you know, I think I owe it to everybody who helped me get here to, you know, to do my best and just go as hard as I can. Because, you know, this stuff isn't something that I get back. And, you know, life isn't something that you get back. You don't get these days back. So that's, you know, my goal is in this camp has been to just go as hard as I can. You know, even the first couple practices, I've never been so tired and so sore after practices before. But it's just because I've been trying to go harder and, you know, I could feel my body breaking down just so it can be built back up and be stronger for these games. And, you know, I look forward to it. Now, let me preface this. I am not perfect. I am no saint. But I you know, I believe in God. I believe he's my Lord and Savior. And I was brought up in the church when I was younger. I mean, my relationship with God is the most important thing in my life to me. I've gone to AIA camp twice for out in Colorado, had the best time, met some of the best, you know, Christian athletes and made so many friendships out there. And, you know, it's been great having so many teammates who have been, you know, in that same position, like Foe and Travis and all those guys who you can go and talk to. You know, I miss Chris Norman so much because, you know, that was like my bro. That was my counselor. If I had a problem, I had questions, I went to him. And was, you know, he'd break stuff down for me. And, you know,
So Chris was the same way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Chris was bigger than me, way bigger. You know, he turned down the league.
to go to minister. And I think that takes so much courage, and that just shows what type of a person and what type of, you know, how deep and how great his relationship is with Christ and everything.
So that's what fuels you out there?
Absolutely. That's the biggest thing that fuels me. But, you know, to be able to minister to people and say, hey, I made it here only because of God's, only because of God's will and mercy. I don't deserve to be here. There are other people who are more talented, but, you know, by God's grace, I was able to be here. And I'm here now playing my senior year at State, you know, planning to go to the Rose Bowl and everything. Just, that's the goal, but it can't be done without him, so.
What a guy. I mean, Mekhi Reynolds, just a pure class act. Again, he was just driving home, just happened to be driving home, and saw this teenager flag him down, who had been shot 3 times, once in the head. Unbelievable stuff. Mekhi helps him out, applies pressure to the wounds, helps save his life. That's just a story. That's just, man, unbelievable. And as you can hear, he's such a spiritually driven guy, and a really class act. Shout out to Mekhi Reynolds. That was hands down, bar none, my favorite moment of media day and of this week. So, wow. All right. When? It's the weekend. Almost here. 3 minutes away from the weekend for us, I guess you could say, guys. What's on the two? What are you guys watching this weekend?
I'm not watching much. I got a homework assignment to do.
Mike, get to that homework, man. Yeah, that's more important. That's right.
But other than that, probably I'm on an Aaron Sorkin kick lately. I'm probably watching episodes that and episodes of The West Wing on Netflix.
Dig that.
All right. You're doing it all wrong.
Yeah.
This weekend, we're out of the summer doldrums. Breaking Bad, Sunday night.
Breaking Bad,
Sunday,
yes.
Yeah. Guys, that's my show. That's the final eight episodes.
He picked up the book.
He picked up Leaves of Grass.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
See if he puts it together. And then Saturday night, Clear History, HBO movie starring Larry David, the creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld.
Mike, you definitely. Matt just showed you up.
No, Breaking Bad was amazing. Of course,
he just showed you up. Mike.
Breaking Bad was
God.
In the back of my head. Of course, I was going to watch that.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was. Absolutely. Back off, Al.
That was great, Matt. You had to wake me up because I forgot Breaking Bad does.
Yeah, guys, don't.
I'm in another mindset right now. I'm thinking about homework, man.
For me,
you got good priorities.
Yeah, that's great priorities. For me, as far as what's on TV, nothing. I mean, of course, Breaking Bad, as you guys just said, but really, I watched the PGA Championship, of course. I got to see if my man Tiger Woods can pull off a miracle here, but I don't think he will. Adam Scott has been playing unbelievable, though. I would definitely be glued to the PGA Championship. Then you go see a movie or something like that. We Are the Millers, I heard, was pretty funny.
There you go.
I don't know. We'll see. Just relax. Enjoy the weekend. Play 18. Use those Max Rebner golf tips. Ain't that right, Aaron? Going to do that. Yeah, Aaron's like, yeah, he's ready. He's amped. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shard, Matt Lucky, our production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Timber Ridge Golf Pro Max Rebner, as always, on the wonderful golf tips. Have a fantastic weekend, folks. Be safe. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care and be easy, people.